Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Available anywhere, anytime on the internet at WFPR.FM in your browser or in the FM radio dial in Franklin, Mass. General area. You know, the dial 102.9, or maybe it's a push button you can preset. Either way, 102.9. Here today, virtually, with a town council candidate for our biennial election coming up November 4th. This year of 2025. And you can vote, as a reminder, on or before November 4th. The absentee ballots will be out in the mail if you've chosen to vote by mail sometime during the week of October 6th, per our clerk. And then in-person voting starts October 17th in the town clerk's office. The schedule is published on the town site, on the community calendar. But what we're trying to do now is have a serious set of questions, or the same set of questions for all the candidates. Clearly different from school committee and town council, but a basic course so that we get to know, if people haven't met Ted, don't know Ted, okay, well, who is Steve talking to? We'll find out a little bit about you and then get into kind of the details and let it go that way. So, Ted Cormier-Ledger, thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Always great to see you, even if it's virtual.
Even if it's virtual. Yes, especially if it's virtual. So let's start at the beginning, which is always a good place. And, tell us a little bit about your Franklin story, briefly about your road to Franklin or life within Franklin and your involvement in the community here.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So, back in August of 2017, my husband and I decided Franklin was going to be home, and we moved our children here and never looked back. We had them in Dedham for about 10 years before that, did a brief stint in Stoughton, grew up in Medford. So, one of those Boston kids, if you will. We picked Franklin for a variety of reasons. I had friends living here already, and they said, it's a great town. It's not that far from anything. The schools are great. The sports are great. Your boys would love it. Check it out. So, after a pretty long search, we found our house and we said, you know what? It needs a few things, but we can do that over time. It's in a great neighborhood. It's tucked behind the old Kennedy School. And we jumped right in. Shortly after that, I got involved with the neighborhood association over there in Oakland Park and became its president and had a blast doing all of those annual traditions and holidays and barbecues and just getting to know everybody.
The luminaries
Yeah, the annual Christmas luminaries and, just that neighborhood association goes back almost 60 years now. That was a lot of fun. And I actually ran for town council once and didn't get it. So I said, okay, let me lick my wounds here a little bit and figure out how I can, still get involved in the community and make a difference and join the cultural council, which I served on that for 2 years with Kay Kelly at the helm. And we did a lot of great things. We brought a lot of fun to town. We had the cultural festival. We started the annual Halloween outdoor decorating contest that the Lions Club now does, right? And does such a great job, and that I continue to judge for and have so much fun. And then COVID hit, and we found ourselves doing much of what you and I are doing now. Like, what kind of online engagement can we do to keep people involved and help them feel less isolated? So we did all kinds of activities online. And then I made a run for the council again and got it and was so happy to get on and roll my sleeves up and figure out what how I could make a difference. And but I knew I had a lot to learn. And that was 4 years ago. So I've successfully completed 2 2-year terms. And I'm running again because I feel like I am just getting started, right? There's takes a while to learn how to do this job and to learn all of the players and the just so many staff and things you have to learn with the state and just how the meetings run and terminology and the subcommittee meetings and the budget. And but I feel like, okay, I've finally gotten into a groove. I've met some great people. I feel like I've made a little impact on some conversations and gotten some good things done, and I'd like to keep it going.
Excellent. Yeah, certainly especially in this time period with the Halloween stuff going on, I've seen the decorations getting started to appear all around. So that's going to be a fun time for sure.
Oh yeah, people take it very seriously. When we first started that, we had over 70 entries that very first year. Not realizing that somebody did an entry because they put a mom and a pumpkin out on their front porch and wanted somebody to come by and see it, which was okay, but it wasn't quite the same as the elaborate displays that came after. But it's a wonderful way for everyone to just get out and see the town and walk around with their families and just enjoy Franklin. So I think it's kind of a nice, unique thing that we've got going here. So,
Potentially see different neighborhoods that you would not necessarily see in your normal paths going back and forth, schools, sports,
absolutely.
whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Good. Related to that, the next question is, civil discourse is a key component of our democratic republic form of government, and the political divide, unfortunately, especially on the national level, is wider now than ever. Fortunately, at least on this local level, we're nonpartisan, so but we still have some issues. So how can you and what would you do to help, bridge those divides or at least help avoid some of that so we can have a civil conversation?
Sure. I think it's important to recognize that people are going to have political affiliations. They are going to have political ideologies. That's just one of the great things about being an American, right? But when it comes to Franklin, we have to be in these seats for everybody. And I really pride myself on trying to be the person in this elected seat for everybody, whether I agree with them politically or not. I think it's really important when arguments ensue, particularly on Facebook, I try to chime in, I try to offer some assistance. Sometimes do a lot of, correcting or pointing people to links or pointing people to, can you please call the appropriate staff person at town hall to get the answer you need? Because this isn't really a municipally monitored forum, right? But
Correct.
a lot of people do still go there for their information, and they go there for the ability to, midnight chat in their pajamas. But I really do, Steve, pride myself in extending the olive branch and saying, let's take it offline. Let's go meet for coffee. Let's go down to Birchwood or over to King Street and just have a conversation. Let's find some middle ground. Let's find that we have more in common than we don't. And those conversations, for the most part, have always gone really well. And I've done a lot of them, right? And people have said, well, geez, I didn't know that about you. And I've said, no, I didn't know that about you either. And isn't it nice that we've been able to find that out? They didn't know perhaps I was a dad, or they didn't know that, my kids are involved in sports, or they didn't know that, I was into real estate or whatever. Whatever the conversations, led toward, it humanized us and it took it off the keyboard. And I wish more people would do that. But I do think that that goes a long way to establishing trust and helping cross that divide so that people aren't quite so polarized, right? If we can just find a way to see the humanity and get to the middle. I remember a woman about a year ago came into council chambers and things were a little volatile. There were some exchanges going on about some recent events. And she said to me, Ted and I are out in the football stands together cheering our kids on and, yelling as loud as we can for our kids. And I said, yeah, we are, right? Because we're neighbors. We're in this town together. We're, raising kids together. And I think that that's important. Like I get my coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, and it's a candidate's daughter is there all the time at the window, and I try to make a point to say hello and ask her how things are going and how's her daughter, and because that's what being a neighbor is, and beyond just being a town councilor, just being a good human being.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah. I'll add, one of intimate buddies of mine who sadly has passed. But one of her great lines was, "You're only a stranger until you started talking." Because once you start talking, it's like, oh, you did that, I did this, you did that, I did this. And yeah, especially here, we are all neighbors. And another candidate recently said, we should just blow up social media so we can go back to the face-to-face conversations. Because I think some people just take it for granted that they can do things on social, and I don't think they would do that if we were face-to-face. I would hope not in most cases, right? So,
And like I said, most of the time these one-on-one conversations have gone well. Couple of exceptions, but when people take it seriously, they come with their stuff written down, and they just kind of want to break bread and have a cup of coffee and say, "This is what's bothering me. How can you help me?" Because I do think as a counselor, we have a role in helping to bridge what the citizen needs and who on the town staff can assist them. I do think, much like maybe back in the day when we had wards and precincts, when someone had like a local rep they could talk to
Sure.
about something bothering them, I do see that as a key part of what we do, right? And of course, they're responding to emails and all that stuff, but just people want someone that's going to listen to them and hopefully take it seriously and get back to them or meet with them and say, "I hear where you're coming from, and how can I help?"
Yeah, and at least have that civil discussion, and maybe at the end you still agree to disagree, but at least you're not disagreeable about it. You've agreed, and there's some things that it can, hopefully the next time may move a little bit better. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
So, in particular to running again for the council, what experience or background will help you serve in this particular role? Or another way to phrase it is, what do you bring to the table that helps set you apart potentially from the others that are, competing for the same role?
Sure. I think the 4 years serving on the council already certainly helps, right? It certainly has given me the experience, the way to navigate the system, the way to know who to go to for what, truly how to understand the budget, how to understand how meetings are run, how to understand how subcommittees are run. That all takes time and it's fairly nuanced, right? And I fully admit, 4 years ago when I was just coming on, I had to learn a ton, right? And I really applaud the new people running because I was in that position once before too. And I think, we need people to come in and take these seats for sure. We all have to be involved in our town. I came to this position. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I came to this because I had a 20-year nonprofit background, right? I had the ability to work in Boston, primarily in youth services, but to be a problem solver, right? To be a community builder, to be like, okay, I can help get you from point A to point B or get you the services that you need. And I really missed that. I had to give that line of work up when we decided to adopt the boys. And I went into the real estate path because it had more flexibility, and I literally could bring the kids with me in the car to appointments and to hold signs and to meet with the fire station and the water guys on a house. Like it was that fun and it was that easy. But that little part of my heart that wasn't having that need met of still being able to problem solve and do stuff with community, I said, "Oh, okay. If I can do an elected office like town council, I can fulfill that inner need for myself and
Sure.
still feel challenged and still feel like I was out making a difference.
Yep, good. Thank you for that.
Sure.
And then there's three kind of key questions that are set up for the council specifically. One of the key responsibilities, as you've learned, certainly is to hire and provide oversight to the town administrator and his or her team. For example, while you can serve as an escalation point for the town folk, that does not include micromanaging a particular department or operation. Do you agree or disagree? And please explain.
I think our town administrator, our police chief, our fire chief, DPW director, right? They're all incredibly capable people with long resumes. They don't need us micromanaging them. They don't need us telling them how to do their job. They need us sometimes to perhaps alert them to a problem or a concern that we've heard about, or, I met with this neighbor and this is what's going on, and you may not be aware. I find our current town administrator, Jamie, to be incredibly responsive. I text with him pretty regularly throughout the week. I let him know things that I maybe hear or see, particularly on social media, and say, are you aware of this? Or, could somebody on your team look into this? This person saying they didn't hear back from anybody. Or perhaps it's just, can we find a solution to this problem? And maybe we haven't even thought about it yet. Maybe we
Sure.
haven't even, gotten to that. And sometimes he's just like, you know what, Ted, I can't. That's not something that's within my scope right now, or he'll give me some talking points or some tools to go back and see if I can solve the problem, or maybe grab a couple of counselors and we'll go try to solve the problem together. And that works, right? We have to all be cognizant of the fact that these staff have lives, right? They have their own families. They're all working a lot of hours. Yes, many are well compensated, and I don't argue that. And aren't we lucky to have some of the best in the state working right here? But people don't also appreciate the amount of hours they work, and that, it's morning, noon, and night. Sometimes it's 7 days a week. Sometimes our meetings run till midnight, right?
The
And
hours.
then he's and then he's and you know and then these staff are right back at it at, 8 o'clock in the morning. So, I always come at it with a very appreciative lens, but I'm also not afraid to say to any of them, like, I don't agree with you on that, and can we have a conversation? Or, there have been a couple of times when it's like, okay, well, I need you to do this, right? I need you to at least look into this for me and then get back to me with an answer. And it's a little more directive. And I think there's a balance to that, right? And there's a as long as it's respectful and not, you're going to do this because I said so kind of attitude, I think everybody gets along really well and respects each other, and we all kind of have found our lanes. And that goes across committees, right? Because I try to be a good bridge to our friends over at the school committee too, with the issues that they're dealing with. And I've had great conversations with Lucas, the superintendent, and just said, how can I support what you're trying to do over there? And then there's been plenty of times where it's vice versa. So that's, again, trying to look at this like we're, not to coin the cliche, Steve, but we are one Franklin, right? We are just one town with all these moving pieces, and we all gotta try to figure out the best way to work together for the citizens and the people that live here.
Yeah, I concur. We're all in it. We have to solve it. There's no white knight coming somewhere, or whatever color the knight is that's coming. There's no help coming on the horizon.
Yeah,
It's
there's no
our
there's
problem to solve.
right, there's no knights, and if they do, we had to sell the horses. So they're walking toward us pretty slow, but it's okay.
So the town council approves the annual budget, which then sets the priorities for how Franklin operates. faced with the fiscal challenges that we've seen and are likely going to see for the next several years, what are the financial priorities that you think we need to address? And there's two kind of caveats to this as well in terms of additional questions or nuances, so I can repeat these as you get into the answer if you need to. But once you determine what those priorities are, or the town does, how do you explain what needs to be done to the voters and residents is one. And then you almost touched on the second one a little bit. What can you help to do the help? What can you do to help the community understand the separation of the roles between the council and the school committee?
Thank you for the question. Certainly, like most Massachusetts cities and towns, we have our financial challenges, and we have tried, however unsuccessful, to pass two overrides to help with some of these challenges. Respecting that the voters of Franklin have said no both times, that we have to live within the means set, there are certainly difficult decisions that have had to be made, and there are difficult decisions still to be made. I try to look at the big picture. I try to say, okay, we've got public safety, which includes police and fire and ambulance. We've got schools. We've got DPW and infrastructure with water and sewer and our roads and sidewalks. And I work my way down the list to these are nice things to have. They make the community better, but they perhaps aren't critical service needs. And, where do they fall? And we get a lot of curveballs thrown at us, Steve, right? We get a 14% insurance hike year over year. That, how do you combat that without having to make some tough decisions? So I think, to answer your question about how do you inform the community, we're on the right path with these joint budget discussions and having them open to the public. And we did, that group met for 10 months. They did the six listening sessions. They were very well attended. There was stuff with you, not just with video and with interviews and with radio and with, YouTube and stuff on Facebook. Like, I feel like the message is out there. People have to be willing to accept the information, and they have to also understand, as a citizen and taxpayer, that there is a little responsibility on them to become informed. Like, nobody's going to be able to spell this all out for you sitting in your living room, right? Like, you have to take a few minutes to read the documents that are online, or attend a meeting, or if it just doesn't make sense, reach out to one of us and we're happy to sit down and talk with you. We have to continue to do more of that. We have to try to stop the blame game and try to stop the comments that sort of polarize and put people in their camps, right? And just be like, no, this is the reality. I hope through this process, right, with seeing, a lot of new faces, I hope that they're able to see that, there is no magic solution here. Like, we can't print the money in the basement. Like, we have, here's our expenses and here's the revenue coming in, and we have to be able to balance it. So it's certainly a challenge. There's been a few different approaches, right? Like, this past year, it was trying to spell out for people what was going to be cut or what potentially was going to be cut if it failed. Some people didn't like that approach. They, commented to us that it was sort of fear-mongering, and, why are you threatening to do that? Just explain to me. And so there's some balance to all of this. And then we made the decision to, what, this is what we said, so we gotta do it. And then some additional financial challenges came our way, and we had to make some more difficult decisions even after the budget was passed. And even the difficult decision of sort of pivoting and going backwards and saying, okay, we gotta try to find a way to bring those two people back within the fire department so we can get that ambulance back online, even though we said we were going to take it away because there's revenue attached to that and it's a critical need in the community. And we heard loud and clear that people were quite worried about it. So this is not a perfect system. And this is, I think the beauty of it is that we have the ability to go into that budget at any time and make changes and examine things. And if we got to add something or we got to pull something out or we got to delve more deeply into something, we can. And just like in the fall when we look at capital, right? We certify that free cash and then we get a big long list of stuff to do and we have to decide, okay, are we sticking money in reserves or are we buying equipment or are we getting curriculum or what are we doing with this money? Because it's all taxpayer money. It's all still critical needs. Many of those departments, not to get on a tangent, but many of those departments don't budget for those things in their operating, and they wait for the capital program to come around. And I've argued for the last 4 years that I don't think that that's the right way to do a budget, because I don't think the police and the fire should have to wait to see if we have the money for their safety equipment. I think that should be in the budget.
Agreed.
But unfortunately, when things just aren't there and you don't want to let people go, then you say, okay, well, we're going to keep the staff and we're going to talk about equipment and program needs at the Capitol round. And it's an interesting system, this municipal government, because we're not the federal government. We can't just overspend and figure it out later, right? We have to balance it every year. So.
Yeah, it balances, it gets audited every year. And, yeah, I agree with you. It'd be nice to have a line item in the cap for capital in the budget, operational side, but at least Franklin's had the history of being relatively austere in terms of creating both savings from expenses and under forecasting, in some cases, happily on the revenue side, so that it creates that thing called free cash, which is not really even free or cash. It's just money that wasn't spent the prior year or extra money that came in the prior year, which then allows us to put some money aside to savings. Puts money aside for a new fire truck, money aside for a new field replacement, and allows for the other capital requests, as you mentioned, whether it's equipment, safety, curriculum, etc. That's a when people understand it that way, it kind of makes sense. But yeah, I agree. In a perfect world, if we had more money coming in, we'd have a capital line in the budget. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, and I understand the concept of not spending one-time revenues, right? Because you can't count on them.
You're just digging yourself a hole.
But unfortunately, as Jamie has alluded to in some of his forecasts, we might be at a point where we have to start taking a percentage of that one-time revenue, which many towns do, to sort of band-aid some of the holes to avoid any future cuts. And we're going to have to look at that and say, where are the opportunities? And hopefully we can come together as a community and figure it out.
Yeah, agreed. And third question of the three for the council. Do you support the goals and recommendations of the 2025 master plan? And if so, what would you do as a councillor to help implement them? Or if not, why not?
I do. I think the master plan committee did a tremendous job. It's a lengthy, lengthy document that a lot of people put a lot of time and work into. It would be rude and presumptuous for me to say that all of those people were wrong, right? I think the one thing that perhaps I disagree with is more a terminology thing. I think when people see in a survey, do you support affordable housing or do you want more affordable housing in Franklin? They're not thinking of the state formula of affordable housing. They're thinking of actual housing that a senior on a fixed income can afford the monthly payment, or actual housing that a first-time family can afford. And I think sometimes we get tripped up with those terms, right? Because the state formula, looking at median income and, coming up with the 80% thing, and that it's complicated, and we've talked about it many times in our meetings, and I don't think a lot of people understand it. So when that is a goal, when people say to me, "But it's in the master plan that we have affordable housing," well, my retort is, "Yes, absolutely. Then let's have a conversation about housing that's actually affordable. Let's have a conversation about, some units that people can actually find a path to get to, or let's have a conversation. Maybe we can find a developer that will actually do 40B deed restricted single family homes, perhaps instead of apartments, to give this group a leg up, right?" I think we have to have more of those open conversations. It's frustrating when I hear, particularly online, that everybody just wants the building to stop entirely, right? They don't understand the concept of new growth and how that revenue is important. And they also don't understand that building moratoriums are illegal, right? So,
We tried that once.
the town tried it, right, several years ago and got taken to court and lost, right? So there is no path where the town legislative body can say no more building ever anywhere. That's not an option. And anybody running in this race that tells you that it's an option has not done their homework, right? So we have to find creative ways to certainly address housing issues within zoning. And we have to, in my opinion, try to approve projects that require the least amount of variances, because I think that's where we get tripped up when it starts to get higher than 5 or 10. In my opinion, it's raising too many red flags. But I do support the master plan. And I think looking at the long-term health of Franklin is important. I think that's our roadmap. Will it need to be adjusted so it's not just a book sitting up on a shelf? Absolutely. Will we have to pivot and make some changes? Yes. Just like, 10, 15 years ago when the last one was written, they had to make some changes. That's okay that it be this sort of living, breathing, ongoing thing. But it does give us a roadmap, and that's important. Otherwise, we're not guided in any particular direction.
Good. Thank you for that. And kind of the last question, the final question, at least while we've covered a bunch of topics, if there's another topic that we haven't mentioned that you'd like to address, or just summarize while we have the opportunity and you've got this platform, you're speaking to the Bow Citizens and residents, you've got another opportunity to have your say.
Sure. I don't think there's necessarily a topic. I think if there are people out there who maybe still don't know me, I would encourage them to reach out, give me a call, send me an email. Over the next month, happy to get together with you. But I'm the guy at the football game screaming as loud as I can for his kid. I'm the guy in the concession booth with the other parents trying to get you to buy a hot dog and a slice of pizza. But I'm also the guy at the FPAC Broadway shows, and I'm at the high school shows and the shows at Dean, and trying to support the theater and the music and the art in our community. And I'm the guy at all of these galas and all of these fundraising events, like throwing the paddle up, trying to help support, whether it's the Safe Coalition or the YMCA or the Food Pantry or FPAC or the Children's Museum of Franklin or whatever it is. They're all so worthwhile. And I think that it's important, not just as a leader and a business owner and a dad, it's important that you get involved in that stuff. But I try to give back as much as I can, because I do recognize that I'm lucky and that my kids are healthy, and there are a lot of people out there who need some help, and I'm happy to help in any way that I can. And I guess I'll just leave the last bit that people don't know about me, on my scouting background, being an Eagle Scout. And I don't look at that in a past tense. I look at that as I am an Eagle Scout, right? So there is a oath that I took, and there is a set of rules that I agreed to live my life by. And I really try to do that each and every day. So if I am trying to help veterans, trying to help our police, trying to help kids in school, trying to help with our sidewalks and roads, it's all sincere and it's all coming from an honest place. And sometimes if I'm sitting up there on the council chamber and I'm shooting from the hip and I'm not scripted and I say something that I probably shouldn't have or that I wish that I hadn't, I'm gonna look back and say, yeah, you know what? I wish I could have that moment back. You know, I'm tired and I was human and I was emotions were high and it was 5 hours into the meeting and I'll apologize to whomever, but I don't go into those meetings like scripted and robotic, and I don't go into those meetings with you know, just kind of sitting there and taking it all in. Like I am the guy that asks a ton of questions, right? I'm the, you know, sometimes the unpopular questions, right? I'm like, well, you know, I just want to have this particular thing addressed because I think that's what's bugging people, right? And humanizing this entire political experience for everyone, I think, is really important. And trying to, you know, be the non-politician politician, if you will, right? And just look, I'm your neighbor. I'm your, you know, the dad on the street and the dad at the games. And, you know, just come talk to me and we'll figure it out.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for your service in on behalf of all of us as neighbors in Franklin. And to the listeners, hopefully this has been helpful to you. There'll be more coming. We've got a bunch of these to do, so there's more coming. Stay tuned.
And thank you, Steve, for, you know, all of your time and effort into Franklin Matters, into these TV interviews, into the radio, into the YouTube, into typing everything after all of that so that people can have something to read. Like, people don't fully appreciate how much goes into this on your end, and it doesn't go unnoticed by me. So thank you very much for all that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And a quick other reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors. Good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.